Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Is the PA working all right? You're back in charge now, you know. You're not just sitting there idling your time away. your holiday's over. Okay. Yeah. Just because you gave your testimony last night, don't mean to say you've done everything for the week. Oh, no way. No way. Straight back into the deep end. Isn't that right, Bill?
Yeah.
Holiday's over, sunshine. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good to us, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Well, how did you get there? The last time I looked, you were there. Huh?
She got the look.
How did you do that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We're still carrying on with the subject of worship.
Amen.
Isn't that strange? Are we still on that same subject? I don't think we could exhaust it if we carried on preaching for eternity. The fact of the subject of worship. We need to press in, continue pressing into God in our worship. And we need to realize the importance of worship in our own lives. In the lives of the church,
yeah.
And how it affects how we live outside.
True.
So, and worship will actually cause you to be more at peace within yourself, within your heart, and within your life. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about the shadow of worship. The shadow of worship. In other words, the Old Testament tabernacle.
Yeah.
It was a type, it was a shadow of that which is to come. It's a type and shadow of what is going on in heaven. Praise God.
Yeah.
But without animal sacrifices, may I add.
Amen.
No more sacrifices. Jesus died once for all.
Amen.
There's no need for sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Glory to Jesus. In fact, we'll start at verse 4. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all. Since they are those who offer the gifts according to the law. This is referring to Jesus. Verse 5. Who serve as a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to. That you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. The thing we find today, what is happening now, is that here we see in Hebrews that the apostle is speaking and telling the people that Jesus would not be the high priest, and that in that today what goes on is a type and a shadow.
Amen.
Of what is happening in heaven. And that was the tabernacle. And for us, God wants to move to another level. He wants to move you into a new dimension.
Amen.
God has laid down a pattern of worship.
Yeah.
God has laid down an example of worship. And today I want to help us understand this a little bit more of what worship is. So often we think it's just about clapping and dancing and making a loud noise. But it goes much, much deeper than that. We want to tap the depths of the things of God. We want to hear the deep things of God and not the things of the flesh. Okay? We could say that the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of the New Testament. Okay? So, if we have the Old Testament here, stand up, Graham. You can be the Old Testament. Graham's the Old Testament. Right? And if you were to put if it was dark and you put a light behind Graham, what would you see in front of him? You'd see a shadow. Yeah? It's a type and it's a shadow of the New Testament, which is the things to come.
Yeah?
Yeah? But you see, the shadow is caused by the light. And the light comes from God.
Yeah.
And all worship comes from the very throne room of God.
Amen.
If we read in Revelation in the New Testament, we read how heaven worships God.
Yeah.
And we'll keep coming in and going out from that and just work our way through. Praise his wonderful name. Today, as a believer, do we live in the Old Testament?
No, no.
Do we live with, you shall not do this, you cannot do this? Oh, and by the way, did you bring your animal sacrifices in? We don't, do we? Thank God for that. No more blood to be shed. No more killing. And you'd have to do it because I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it. Right? But you see, that's the old way. That's the Old Testament way. But the new way is no more sacrifice, because right in the middle of it all, Jesus came.
Amen.
Died on a cross. That very perfect, precious sacrifice, no blemish was found in him, was crucified. And then on the third day, what happened? He rose again to life. Ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for yours and for mine situation and circumstances, bringing us closer to God. Praise his wonderful name. You and I have to learn to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. We have to declare the things of God. The problem was with the Old Testament and with the Jewish people that when they lived in Egypt, they spent 400 years in captivity. And you see, after being a slave all of your life, then the parents teach the children how to be slaves, and the children teach their children how to be slaves, and they teach their children's children how to be slaves. And so all of a sudden, our thinking is a slave mentality. You understand? Are you a slave? Are you a slave?
No.
Are you a slave? No?
Servants.
It's servants, we're not slaves. See, Jesus came to set us free from that slave mentality.
Yeah.
And that's where we come back to that scripture, you see, that Bill started on, Romans 12, renewing our minds. We have to change our thinking. Just because that's the way we've been brought up does not necessarily mean that's the right thing. If we're not brought up in a Christian home, God wants to move you on into greater things.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
So the children of Egypt had a mindset. They were slaves. They always did it this way. When Pharaoh cracked his whip and said, jump, they said, how high? It's true, isn't it? That's what a slave does. When the master says, jump, you say, how high, master? Yeah? Is that true? And so the children of Israel were locked into this mentality. And then God, through Moses, comes along and says, I'm going to set you free.
Amen.
God's going to deliver you after 400 years of being a slave and being imprisoned and being told to jump, to sit, to walk, to build, to whatever else they needed to do. And if you didn't do it, you received the whip. God began a great change. Moses had a great job, big job to do. He'd got to change the thinking of 400 years. That's a challenge. The sad thing was, as we all know the story, that they spend... Well, the sad thing is that within 7 days, having left Egypt on their journey, they could have been in the Promised Land. Wow. But because they were so rebellious, because they had this slave mentality and kept thinking, oh, I'd like to go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
I miss the onion soup. And I miss the whipping of my back. Would you want to go back to slavery? No way. But they kept saying, oh, I think I'd like to go back to Egypt. Why?
Yeah.
And people today still do that.
Yeah.
People today still want to go back to Egypt. What is Egypt? Some form of bondage?
Yeah.
Some form of sin?
Yeah.
Some form of habit?
Yeah.
That controls you. That's what Egypt is. Egypt can be a drug addiction. Egypt can be a food addiction. Egypt, an alcohol addiction. Egypt could be sinful, lustful ways. And God has come through Jesus Christ to set you and me free. And the greatest thing that helps set us free and keeps us free is worship.
Yeah.
Worship does it.
Amen.
When you're feeling down, that's when the devil starts to come and try and push you around.
Yeah.
When you're not on top, the devil says, I've got you now. Don't he? Starts to push you a bit. The best way to deal with that is say, I'm not having that. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So then you can start pushing him back. See? And you push the devil back until he says, I give up, I'll go find somebody else. Exactly. And so, the joy of the Lord is just, but how does joy come? It comes when we begin to praise. When we begin to worship. When we focus on Jesus.
Amen.
And all that he's done.
Yeah.
When we focus on the glories of heaven. And the things that are to come. And the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. When we focus on those things, we become strong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what is thrown at us, because we know we have a sure and certain hope.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I will get to that in a minute. I'm trying anyway, put it that way. Glory to Jesus. I heard that. So it's a type, it's a shadow of the things to come. But you see, the Old Testament is the old system. And it's broken.
Yeah.
It's broken.
Yeah.
It never worked. It was never a perfect system. But the grace, the love, and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ is the perfect system.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. You see, the Jews needed to have their minds regenerated. They had to have their thinking changed. And the sad thing is that all those that were rebellious and stiff-necked and had suffered under slavery died in the wilderness. There was only Caleb and Joshua of the old school. But you see, their minds had changed. They had their minds renewed, because that when they saw Jericho, they said, come on, bring it on. We can beat the living daylights out of this crowd. This is a place for us to have. This land is fabulous. But you see, the slave mentality says, oh, I don't think we'll be able to manage that, you know. I think really we ought to go back to Pharaoh. At least we had leeks and onions for dinner. And we're not, I mean, it was wonderful really, weren't it, you know. But now we've got to face an army. I don't think we can do it. And there they are, moaning and complaining. Why did you bring us here? You only brought us here to die. No, God brought them out to give them life.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And Jesus came to save you, that you might have life.
Amen.
And have it more abundantly.
Praise God.
Glory to his wonderful name.
Jesus.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. And there it says, I am the Lord, that is my name.
Amen.
I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. In other words, the old ways, they're finished.
Amen.
They're over. right? The former things are come to pass. And new things I do declare. God's declaring them, saying, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. God's going to do new things, but he's going to tell us what he's going to do. You see, God wants to talk to you. Just like having a conversation. He says, you'll be okay next week, Graham. Got everything planned out for you. It's all ready. All you have to do, get up in the morning and start walking. God said, I've sorted it. Glory to God. See, God never slumbers or sleeps. What time are you starting in the morning?
Half past three.
Thank God. I shall be asleep. I shall be slumbering and sleeping whilst you are up and awake. But God will be awake with you, and he gave his angels charge over you so I can sleep and be confident that God is able to do that which he has planned for Monday in Graham's life. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I can rest and I shall rest in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Glory to Jesus. You see, God's changing the old order.
Yes.
God's dealing with the old system and saying, I have a new order. I have a new way.
Amen.
This is the way. Walk in it. Come into my presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible tells us there, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Right? It's not about what you're seeing. It's about what you're believing. It's that walk of faith that we have, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Behold, all things become new. Amen?
Amen.
Is that 2 Corinthians? So we walk by faith. Did I say 7 or 17? 17 I did. Well, I needed to use that as well. Verse 7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, because the old things are passed away, and behold, the new things have come.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. So the old things, which was doubt, fear, and unbelief, have passed away.
Amen.
The new things of faith are now here. You see, in the past, they wouldn't walk by faith, they walked by the law. Constantly being told what to do. Prior to the law, before Moses, Abraham and Isaac walked by faith. And then the children of Israel lost it. Well, through Jesus Christ, he's brought it back. For us now to walk by faith, because God is a God of faith. And so we walk by faith. And we move by faith. Old things are passed away. You're a new creature. You're a new creature. You're different to what you used to be. Glory to God. How it happened, I've no idea. It was through the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ. But how it works in us and through us, it's a mystery that only God knows. And only God can do. The devil can't do it. God does it. It is a mystery in our lives. Glory to his name. If God is doing a new thing, then why do we try and bring Egypt into the church? Why do we try Now, Egypt is a symbol, is symbolic of the world we live in. Okay? Egypt is symbolic of the world system that we live in. And yet, if we're not careful, and many churches are getting like this, that we're bringing in the old system, and we're bringing it into the church, and we're praying over it, we're sanctifying it, we're blessing it, and saying, "Nah, it'll be all right." But that is not what God is doing in heaven. He said, "Behold, a new thing. I'm doing a new thing." So why do we want the stuff of the world that actually, when we lived in the world as sinners, we weren't happy with that? When we lived in the world as sinners, we were fed up with it. So, why do we want to say to the old things of the world, get up? No, wait a minute, yeah, I haven't finished yet. Put your arms over my shoulders. Now, you see the size of Graham, right? I'll not say, ask him how heavy he is, but right. Now, this is what we're doing, right? This is, I'm the church, right? The new system, and I've decided to get hold of the old system and say, come with me. Now, you resist. You know, I mean, guess what? I'm going backwards. Yeah? There's no way I'm going. Not with my back, anyway, I'll tell you. Because if I do manage to drag the old system with me, right? Guess what I'm going to look like next? I'm going to be like this. Flat on my back. In agony. And it's not being slain in the spirit, by the way. It's being killed by the old system. And yet we're dragging it in. Now, some of you folk, you've been to the nightclubs, flashing lights and everything, loud music, so that when you get there, you say, "What you want to drink, eh? You what? I can't hear you. Hey? You what? Shout up a bit." You know. Friday. Grace and I had been in town, not to the clubs, by the way. We'd been to Rebecca's fashion show. And we were coming out of town. It would be about 8:30 in the evening. And I noticed there was two lads, and one of them was waiting for it for the other one, and he stood like this. He's got his support. He's got his courage in his hand, and he stood there with it. Sees his mate, and he yells, "Hey, it's that sort of thing." After a while, his mate comes along. And guess what? When his mate came up these steps, guess what he'd got? There they had. One had a bottle and one had a can. They were going to the pub, but they were making sure that they got something to help them along the way. The world system. We're dragging it in with us. We left that. And yet we're saying, come on, resist. And we're being dragged back. Or we're getting nowhere. Yeah. So why do we try and drag the world into the church when God says, "Behold, I am going to do something new"? You see, the reason we hang on to the old is because we think there's some security in there. We know about that. We know what, you know. But what we know about it is no good to us. Because when we weren't happy in the world, were we? So why hang on to the thing? You say, "Oh, get it off. Get it. Shake it off. Shake the dust off, you know. Get rid of it." Have a shower in the Spirit of God and then move on into the new things of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't give the world a second glance, because it ain't got anything worth having, really. So we have to move on. But the problem is, you can turn to that Word document, please. The problem is, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, it says this. And this is what the church is not doing. It says, "You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." This is a commandment on loving God. Jesus repeated it. What's the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy soul, with all thy heart, etc. Right? Jesus said it. Jesus confirmed it. If you fulfill that one, you won't have to be bothered about anything else. Right? Because that, the world, has nothing to hold you. But you fulfill this commandment and everything else opens up.
Yeah.
I don't like to use this word, but it's like a special key that unlocks the door into the presence of God. But it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, he says, love the Lord your God with all your strength, with your body. That is symbolic of the Old Testament tabernacle. There you go. Just have a look at that. Grace did this study, or has been doing the study on the tabernacle, and I'm just following on with worship. Strength, your body, the outer court. Right? That's where all the bits and pieces of so-called Old Testament worship, of preparations for sacrifice of animals, went on in that area. But we know that every time that there was a sacrifice, 12 months later, there needed to be another one. Because you see, all that this sacrifice did in that outer court was just throw a cover over the Old Testament, over the sins. And it was covered. But you see, after 12 months' time, yeah, exactly, that's what happens. It reappears again. So you see, the next thing you have to do is you go and get another animal and you say, I'll deal with it again. So you throw another cover of an animal over it, and you're covered for 12 months, so you think. Should be on video, this, shouldn't it, today? Yeah. It's entertaining. You'll not forget this one anyway, you know. You'll remember something of this, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's, you know, isn't it good to have fun in the house of the Lord? Because you can remember, you see, you'll all remember now that sin's been covered just for a while. And, you know, and every time we say that, you'll see a cloth going over Graham, you see now. Glory to Jesus. So the outer court is our body area. It's the strength that we have. But you see, God is not really too concerned about the body. We know he heals us and he sets us free. That's wonderful. But praise God, in the future, when we enter into the presence of God, guess what? I've got a new body waiting for me. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, got a new body. No aches, no pains. Absolutely not. No cramps. Nothing, you know. Have you ever shot out of bed with cramp?
Yeah.
Oh, a few weeks ago, I was laid fast asleep in bed. Minding my own business. So I thought. And then all of a sudden, I felt this cramp. It came on. I remember as a child, we used to have alarm clocks with bells. I used to come out of bed like this. Hated the things. Would never have one. You know, just I buried the thing. No. Well, when that cramp hit me, it was like somebody ringing a big bell. I came up out of bed. I was upright. I hit the floor like nobody's business. And you know when you're laid fast asleep, you know, you're absolutely gone. And all of a sudden you come from this really deep sleep. Well, when I got the cramp under control, I suddenly went, ooh, I felt as sick as a dog. Have you ever had that feeling? You know, have you ever had that? You come up out of bed that fast from a deep sleep, and you think, ooh, I feel I want to be sick now, you know. And I thought, gosh, there's going to be none of that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. No more pain, no more tears, no more sickness. Glory to Jesus in the new heaven. In this new body that he's got prepared for me. Has he got one prepared for you?
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. Well, what's the inner court remind us of? Let's move on to the next point, please. Just slide it down a little bit further. Now then, our soul, our mind, that's the inner court. That's where you find the candlestick, the table of showbread, and the golden altar. God is taking us deeper in. But you see, our mind has to be renewed. The lamp stand is the light of the word that is coming into our minds and is renewing our minds that our minds might see the things that God is trying to show us. And that so God, as we've read so many times in Romans, this thing of the renewing of our mind. You see, God is dealing with our inner court. You see, when we first get saved, we feel great, don't we? Came to Jesus, everything's gone, all the burdens are gone, I'm set free, I've been born again, no sin, no sickness, no, I'm fantastic. You look in a mirror, it's still the same person, isn't it? You're not walking around with a nappy on, are you going, are you? You're not doing that. 40-odd year old, are you? Your mother would have had some pain on, wouldn't she? Giving birth to you. You know, you just got saved, eh? And size you are. Gosh. She'd have said, no way. But you see, we're born again of God. Renewed by the Spirit of God. But it's inside. It's the deep inside where God has done a work. But the soul, the mind, still thinks wrong things. And it has to be retrained. You see, the soul's a bit like the Old Testament. Don't keep grabbing a cover and throwing it over the Old Testament, over the mind. It's not going to work because it will keep popping up. And doing the wrong things. What you have to do, the Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 3, talks about you read this word. And this word, being the word of God, will start to wash, cleanse, restore the soul, the mind of a man and woman. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. That's what he's like. That's who he is. And so, if we want to be good men and women and children of God, then we need to apply the Word of God to our thinking.
Amen.
And that does not mean practicing walking around with a Bible on your head.
No.
Right? That ain't going to work, is it? You see, it's not going to soak into my mind, is it? Just because it's sat on my head, it's not soaking into my mind, is it?
No.
You've got to read it. You've got to read it. And that then begins to deal with our minds. And this then is bringing us, as we deal with our minds, like you were saying earlier, you deal with your mind through the Word of God. Your confession that you move forward in the things of God takes you further into the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You see, God wants to get close to you. See, God wants to put his arm around you. He wants to get close. Wants to get into your presence. Wants to get your attention constantly. The only way he can do that is through you and me moving through this, the world system, the outer court, moving into the inner court. And moving further beyond that. In the Holy of Holies, right in the centre, where the Ark of the Covenant is, there is no natural light. There's no natural light. There's not a window. There's no candlestick. To the natural eye, it is pitch black.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that because to the natural eye, it's pitch black. To the human, it's pitch black. But to the man whose spirit is awakened,
amen,
to the man and woman whose spirit is awakened, when they press through that curtain that God tore, when Jesus died on that cross that separated us from God, when that was torn by God, it was then an invitation for you and I to begin to enter in to the Holy of Holies. When we enter into the Holy of Holies, as I say, there is no natural light in the place. But there is the light of the glory of God Himself. Church, God does not want you in the outer court. God does not want you in the inner court. God wants you here in the Holy of Holies, in His presence. Okay? Do you see that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? God is God's desire. You see, God is not out here in the outer court, right? God ministers in the inner court to us, but God's real presence is here in the Holy of Holies. This is where the miracles begin to happen. And the church in its praise and worship has to move through the Old Testament thinking has to move through the world, has to move into the holy place, and then has to move into the Holy of Holies. And that's what we should be doing in our praise and our worship. That we are moving from the world system. That we shake off, that when we come into the presence of God, we're shaking off the things of the world. We're shaking off the cares that bother our minds. And we're saying, I'm focusing on my Lord, my Saviour, my God and the Holy Spirit. And I'm coming into their presence where the glory of the living God is.
Amen.
And in that glory, signs, wonders,
Amen.
Miracles begin to happen. And we're not dragging in the world system. We don't need the world system. We need the system that God has placed in our hearts, in our lives, in our very spirits. That as our spirits begin to flow with the things of God, it renews our mind because it speaks the word of God. And the outer court becomes of nothing to us. The outer court is just a place we walk through. You know, you say, I'm on my way into the presence of God. And I'm just walking on because I'm not satisfied with the holy place. I need to get into the Holy of Holies. And I tell you this, when the church gets into the Holy of Holies, spiritually speaking, then we'll see the world around us changing. We'll see lives coming in and being touched by the power of God. And that when you go out, you'll be able to minister to people outside, to lay hands on them, to see them saved, delivered and set free. Because that is the way that God wants to work. You see, God's not saying bring them to church and get them saved. God's saying you get them saved at home.
Amen.
Then you bring them to church to teach them about the things of God.
Yeah.
And to worship God for what God has done for them.
Yeah.
Every one of you should be an evangelist. Every one of you should heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Being filled with the Spirit of a living God. Being in touch with God through worship and praise.
Yeah.
You see what happened in the beginning? God started with the Holy of Holies. This is where God started.
Yeah.
The Holy of Holies. That was the first place. Trouble is, you and I have to start in the outer court. And we have to make our way through. God wants you to break through. God wants you to push through the outer court. This is beginning to... This, what this means is sorting out the things in our lives. Lord, I'm doing this wrong. The Lord tells you, you're doing this wrong. Sort it out.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
And as you deal with the outer court,
wow.
And deal with the holy place,
yeah.
And start to allow the Word of God to begin to work,
then
we can enter into the Holy of Holies,
yeah.
The very presence of the living God. So today we start our journey and we start by worshipping and we start by pressing in to the very presence of God. I'll finish with this scripture. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And verses 2 to 11. When Moses was given the pattern of heaven and the form for the tabernacle, he was then told to instruct a man that God had anointed with the Holy Spirit. He'd anointed a certain man. Verse 2 says, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah," the tribe of praise and worship. Right? He's off the tribe of praise and worship. And it says, verse 3 says, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship."
Praise
God. So here we have, God has chosen a man who is of a type of praise and worship. And God says, "I'm going to fill him with the gifts and the abilities to be a man of great craftsmanship in the things of worship unto God."
Yeah.
Wow. There is a craftsmanship about worship.
Yeah.
He says, "To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stone to set them, and to and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." Boy, this guy's got his work cut out. But just remember this. God gave him the abilities to teach others.
Amen.
To teach others.
Yeah.
Of what they must do. And how they must do it. Because you see, there was a certain way to do these things unto God.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the world's way.
No.
Hallelujah. Verse 6. "And I beheld, and I had given to Halalib, the son of," "Hashibak of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all things that I have commanded thee. The tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and its furniture, the pure candlestick and all its furniture, the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings and its furniture, and the laver and its foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments of Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, do it."
Woo!
That's a tall order.
Yeah.
That's a tall order. But what God had done, God had given his spirit to this man. And in that giving of his spirit to this man, he'd given him the wisdom, he'd given him the ability to teach and to show others and to show them what God had ordered.
Yeah.
And yet we today, we stop looking at this.
Yeah.
We stop looking at the order of God, and we look at, this is how they do it in the clubs. This is how they do it in the discos. This is how they do it when you book a concert. So, tell you what, it seems to work in the world, so we'll bring it over into the church.
No.
Let me ask you a question. Is God in the clubs?
No.
Is God in the concert?
No.
Is God in the pubs?
No.
Where's God?
Holy.
He's in the holy place. He sends you and me to reach people. But we can only reach them when we've been in his very presence. When we touch the throne room of God. When we've been sanctified, cleansed and made holy. And then we see lives change like we did, like we heard the testimonies, many of us, last night.
Yes.
Lives that have moved and been turned around by the power of God.
Amen.
You know, the name Bezalel It also means to tingle. It also means to vibrate. Tingle. You know, when sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, you just think, wow. Oh, just feel the presence of God. When somebody lays hands on you and the power of God begins to, and you think, oh, the presence of God. And his name meant tingling. His name meant Spirit of God. The presence of God. The Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, that tingling. That tingling. Years ago in the early 19th century, I think it was, the Quaker movement was sort of birthed. And the Holy Shakers. And you knew that the Holy Spirit was upon them when they began to tremble. And they began to shake. And the presence of God was upon them. It's all biblical. It's all scriptural. Even now, occasionally you'll see it in somebody's life. When the power of God comes on, they'll begin to shake and tremble and tingle. Because God's Spirit is moving. We need to move into the Holy of Holies. And we do that with our praise and our worship, reading of the Word of God, renewing our minds, strengthening our bodies and souls with the Word, and moving forward in the presence of God. I know some of this is not easy at times to understand, but it's about you and I just abandoning the world. Sometimes throwing a cloth over the world and saying, I don't care what's gone on in my life yesterday, today, last week. I am just going to focus on God. And I am just going to worship God. Because I'll tell you what will happen. When you do that, and the old system won't be just covered, it'll be gone. Disappear. Because God says he'll sort out all your problems. The Bible says, cast all your care upon God. Because he cares for you. And he'll deal with it. Praise his wonderful name. Well, the Lord bless you. Thank you for listening. I trust you've been encouraged. I trust that we have helped you understand a little bit more about beginning to learn to worship. You know, this is this from the very heart and soul of our lives. Not from our minds, but from our very souls. The inner part of our lives, worshipping God. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you.